Glad to see you at the gospel service tonight, and we welcome you to the meeting in our Saviour's name. The hymn 267 is our opening hymn tonight. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross on Calvary. 267 will stand as we sing, please.
Thank you. Let's just bow together in prayer. Seek the Lord's face together. Just lift your heart to the Lord. Ask Him to bless the meeting tonight with His presence. Pray the Lord will speak in the service. Pray He'll be pleased to come by His Spirit in a great way upon the meeting this evening. Father, we seek Thee in all our need. We come into Your presence in prayer in the Saviour's great name, thankful that we can approach Your throne of grace. We pray, Father, at the beginning of the meeting that You will come upon us. We ask that You'll come and guide us tonight through this service. We plead, Father, for the hand of God to be upon the meeting, just in every part. Pray the Spirit will come and lead us through the service step by step. We want to pray particularly, put Your hand upon the preaching of Your word. Lord, we need Your power tonight. We pray the gospel will be preached in the power of the Spirit of God. We want to thank You for all that has taken place in this house today already in connection with this congregation. We thank You for the Sunday school and Bible classes, the children and the young people that have been gathered. We thank You, Father, for their presence in Thy house today. We ask Thee, Lord, to speak to their hearts, even through the lessons, the message of the gospel that they heard in the Sunday school and Bible classes, those that are out of Christ. Our prayer, Father, is that You'll bring them to the Saviour. We ask that You'll bless the Sabbath school. We ask that You'll add to it. But, Lord, most of all, we pray that all of the children might be saved, that every child will be able to say it's well with their soul. We pray, Father, that none of the children in our Sunday school would perish, that they would die without Christ as their Saviour. We ask Thee, Father, to remember all the activities of the church of this incoming week. We pray for the parent and toddler group in the morning. We ask that that might be widely known through the city and community. We ask, Lord, that others will come. Our prayer is it'll be the means of making new contacts with especially those that have no church that they attend, no contact with a church. Lord, may it be the means of bringing others into the services, bringing new people, new families into the house of God. We ask for Your blessing to be upon it. We pray that as it meets, that each time that there'd be new people, that You'll add to it. We're mindful, Father, of the meetings as well of the elders and the committee in this incoming week. Thank You for the brethren. Lord, bless each one. Thank You for men that know the Saviour. We rejoice, Lord, that each of our office bearers are born again. Lord, we pray that You'll guide in those meetings all the decisions. Lord, we're conscious, as Your word says, that we watch for the souls of the congregation as those that must give an account. We recognise that great day, Father, when we'll all stand before Thyself. So we're praying, Father, give wisdom in those meetings. May the direction of God be known. We remember too, Father, the bright hours. Thank You for the witness among the children here in the church down in Killalea. Remember, Father, the leaders and the workers. Help them and encourage them. Lord, use them. Speak through them. Pray they'll all be full of Thy Spirit. We pray for many children to gather in. Lord, we're conscious of so many boys and girls that are found throughout this district, and yet, Lord, multitudes of them do not come to church. Multitudes of them are not found in Your house, in Sunday school or children's meetings. Oh God, we pray that You would intervene. We ask that You'll add to all of these meetings. Our desire is to reach as many children and young people as we can for Christ. Thank You for the openings into the schools in the area. Remember the visit to the Drelincourt School on Wednesday morning. Think, Father, of the children there, some of them from other backgrounds, other nationalities. What an opportunity, Father. We remember in the Scriptures how that the Ethiopian eunuch converted, took the gospel
back to his own land. And Lord, we pray you might do the same, even among some of these children, bring them to Christ. Pray that there will be a move of God, not in, just in their lives, but in their families too. And Lord, we ask in that way that the gospel might be spread from this place, from this city, from this church, even to other lands and to other nations. Remember our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon the prayer meeting. Thank you for the encouragement of your word to our hearts this morning. Lord, what a blessing to know of the power there is in prayer, that you're able to do great and mighty things. Lord, we thank you for impressing that great truth upon our hearts, that there's nothing that is too hard for thee. So our prayer, Father, is increase our faith in prayer, in the place of prayer. Give us a desire to be there. Remember Daniel purposed that he would not defile himself with the king's portion. Lord, help us to purpose that we'll be a praying people, that we'll be those that will gather to seek the face of God. You've said that you will visit your people. We thank you, Father, for that. You said that you would bear long with your people. And Lord, we ask thee even to hear our cries and enable us to be faithful, to persist at the throne of grace and to pray down the blessing of God. We pray that we'll not faint. We're conscious there's times that you test our faithfulness and you challenge our persistence. We're conscious we can only continue in the power of your Spirit. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, we can only overcome and conquer that weakness by the power of your Holy Ghost. Remember the youth fellowship too, and Lord, keep your hand upon it. We ask that you'll add to the fellowship. We're praying, Father, send in more children, more young people, more families with teenage children and young people to encourage our hearts and to add to the congregation, even to carry on the testimony of the gospel here in this place. Lord, we pray too for the radio broadcasts that take place on Wednesday. That open door you've given to us and some of our sister churches, the gospel broadcast over the border, even into County Monaghan. O God, save the Roman Catholic people of that county. And even, Father, those that would attend some of the Protestant churches as well that the gospel is not preached in. And Lord, we're mindful of so many of other nationalities too. And we pray that they would hear the messages, tune in to those broadcasts. Remember, even the live stream of this service as it goes out tonight, Lord, we ask you to use it. What a means to present the gospel, not just in this city, but to the very ends of the earth. And Lord, we pray that you'll overrule in those that hear the service, hear the broadcast tonight. And we pray that those that will tune in, that it will be the very message that they need to hear, a word in season for them. So Lord, as we consider all of these outreaches, all of the activities of this church, we're thankful for how busy this congregation is in the spread of the gospel, the outreach. And Lord, we're mindful of the brethren that have been going out in that needy area with the gospel literature as well. Oh Lord, what a needy area that is, the spiritual darkness that's upon it. Your word says that the entrance of your word giveth light. And we pray, Father, that the literature and the word of God, the message of the gospel contained within it, will be the means of bringing light into some of those darkened hearts. Oh God, we cry, enable us to be faithful to thee in the day in which we're found. Lord, this barren day, spiritually, this apathetic day, save us, Father, from apathy. Your word says that because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. And Lord, if we come into that winter season, the coldness around us, Lord, help us spiritually to be on fire for God. Save us from that coldness of heart. Save us from coldness even in our services, in our meetings as well. And Lord, we're mindful of the Remembrance Sunday, next Sabbath day, and even the opportunity to bring in visitors at that evening service. Lord, we ask thee to work in hearts, take down prejudices that people would have against coming to this church and to gospel meetings. And Lord, bring in the lost, we ask of thee. So hear our prayers and our cries. And we just ask, Lord, come and abide with us. come down in mighty power amongst us tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 70, please. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. Hymn number 70, and we're standing together as we sing, please.
Reading. Tonight we're in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 64. We encourage you to find the place and to follow in the reading tonight. The 64th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. We're going to read the whole chapter. We'll commence at the first verse. Let us hear the word of God to our hearts tonight. It says, O that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble of thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eyes seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness,
those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. And those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth, very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire. And all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Well then, there close our reading at the end of the chapter. And we pray for the Lord's clear blessing to rest tonight upon the public reading of his word. We take the opportunity to extend an earnest word of welcome. Thank you for your presence. We want to thank you all for coming along to the gospel service tonight. We're glad of your fellowship. We're very thankful for your support and faithfulness of the evening gospel service. Our prayer is that you will know the Lord's presence in the meeting, that you'll be blessed by every part of this service tonight. We thank the children and young people that are present with us. We're glad to see you out of the gospel service tonight as well. And we also welcome those that are listening in or watching in to the service tonight on the live stream. We're glad that you have joined us, and we pray that this meeting will be a help and a blessing, and even that you'll hear the voice of God. If you're out of Christ, it might be the means of bringing you to the Saviour. Just quickly, I want to remind you of the services for the incoming week. Remember, all subject to the will of God. Tomorrow morning at 10 is the parent and toddler group downstairs in the church hall. Continue to make that known. Remember, there's little leaflets with all of the details. Take a few of those and give them out. Remember, to the session meeting tomorrow night in the minister's room at 7:30. And then on Tuesday evening, the bright hours back again after the break from the half-term holidays. Both the meetings here in the church down in the band hall, Killalea, they begin at 6:45. The church committee's meeting on Tuesday night, also in the minister's room, and that meeting will commence at 7:30. Wednesday morning, we're going along to the Drelland Court Primary School to speak to the children there. And then at 8 o'clock is our midweek service. I'll be speaking myself, bringing that presentation and report on the recent mission trip. So we encourage you to come along. Even if you're not regularly along at the midweek service, keeping in mind the ministry and the labours of our sister, who's a missionary from the congregation we're able to visit, it would be of interest to you to come along just to see the work in which she's engaged and the other aspects of that great church work also. Remember, Friday night, 8 o'clock, is the Youth Fellowship. It's a home meeting. I'll be the speaker at the service on Friday night, and we encourage all of those of Youth Fellowship age to come along to that meeting. Next Sabbath day, the 13th of November, Remembrance Sunday. The Sunday School and Bible classes in the morning at 20 to 11. We'll be down at the cenotaph for the remembrance, the observance there, the laying of the wreath on behalf of the congregation, and then coming up for the morning service. Keep in mind the season of prayer at 11 in the minister's room, and then the evening service at 6:30, also preceded by the time of prayer beginning at 6 o'clock. There will be an act of remembrance. Do take the opportunity to invite others. It's a good opportunity, particularly those that have served in the armed forces, or those who have lost loved ones that have fought in defence of the country, both at home and abroad. So do remember that special service next Sunday night. I hope to be preaching at both of those meetings myself. Remember the literature that's available, the latest Vision magazine for November and December, also the latest Watching and Waiting from the Sovereign Grace Advent Testimony. There's the Let the Bible Speak calendar for 2023. Remember, it's a special edition to mark the 50th anniversary of Let the Bible Speak's ministry. That costs £5. Remember, the proceeds go to the ministry of LTBS. And there's also copies of the Way of Life calendar that's produced for the ploughing outreach. It's especially relevant for the farming and the rural community. There's a number of copies of those there, and they are free of charge. The Bethany Church is having their monthly youth rally tonight, 8:45. Reverend Graham Lucas from Garva is the speaker, speaking on the theme of the Christian and God's law, and the Serve Praise team will be bringing messages and song, and there's some hot food and fellowship then for the young people after the service. Next Saturday in the Dungannon Church between 10 and 4, the Youth Council is having a missionary day just to challenge and inform and educate the young people with regard to missionary work. We will put the advert with all of the details of who will be taking part up on the Facebook page for the young people to see. Remember Sam Houston's new CD for the Christmas time, Jesus is Joy to the World, price £10 each. So remember, there's a few there in the porch, and there's a sheet to put your name upon. Continue to remember our brother Ken Hartley in your prayers, that he will know the Lord's touch. Just at this time, he thanks the congregation sincerely for their support, the messages of support, and especially your prayers. And it is our prayer that very soon our brother will be well enough to be back with us here at the meetings. We pray that he'll know the Lord's hand upon him in a very clear way. We're going to sing another hymn together, please, just before we come to the Word of God this evening. It is the words of the hymn 595, written by Anne Ross Cousins. Remember, it's based on the dying words of Samuel Rutherford. The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks, the summer morn I've sighed for, the fair sweet morn awakes. We're going to emphasise, one of the truths we'll emphasise in the message tonight is just how quickly life departs from us, how quickly life can pass. So think of these words, the sands of time are sinking. We'll sing the verses 1 and 2 and then 5 and 6. We'll leave out the middle 2, 3 and 4, and again we'll stand as we sing, please.
Born my time for the fair.
Let's just pray together.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the one who is Emmanuel, God with us. We pray that we'll know that in a very powerful manner in the remainder of this meeting. Lord, come and be with us. You've assured us that you're with us always, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You've especially assured us that even when two or three are met in thy name, that there you'll be in the midst. And Lord, that's our longing tonight, that we'll know the Lord is here amongst us in the midst of this gathering. And Lord, we thank you for that place of which we've been singing, Emmanuel's Land. We thank you for heaven, the prospect of being there with the Lord for all eternity, the prospect of being with Emmanuel in his land and the land that is fairer than day forever and ever. Thank you for all, Father, that can say that that is their destiny in eternity. We pray that it will be true of all in the meeting. We ask that all here will be saved. We want to pray that it will be true of all that are listening to this broadcast tonight. Lord, we just in prayer want to commit the preaching into your hands. We're conscious of the solemnity of this time, the importance of it, the preaching of the everlasting gospel. We thank you for the tidings that you've given to us. We rejoice that we come tonight to this gathering with good news. We rejoice, Father, we come to this gathering tonight with the best news that man has ever known or ever heard. The good news of one that loved us and that gave himself for us to save us and redeem us from our sins and a lost eternity. Lord, you've assured us in your word that it pleaseth thee by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So we're asking, Father, put your seal very clearly, very powerfully upon the preaching in this house tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 64, our text this evening, is the words of that sixth verse. Isaiah 64, verse 6. The verse we chose as our text this morning is a memory verse. It's one that should be known and learnt. And the same is true of our text tonight, Isaiah 64 and 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. It's a very full verse, full of Bible and gospel truth. Every one of those statements, every one of those phrases is worthy of our deep consideration. I want us to focus in on the words this evening, we all do fade as a leaf. This autumn time, the theme of the gospel message tonight is life's lessons from the leaves. Just to emphasize to you that plants and flowers are often used as national symbols. The reason for that is that they then can be used as a reminder of the part that that plant played in the history of that nation. If I could give you some examples of that. Remember the province of Ulster, the national plant was flax. It was once so prominent, so much of it grown by the farmers across the land. If you think of the flax holes, some that remain to this time, they're reminders of that day and of the prominence that flax once held in this land. The national flower is the orange lily. You see it especially over the summertime during the marching season. If you think of the island of Ireland as a whole, it has the shamrock, so closely associated with the life and ministry of St. Patrick, especially as he used it as an illustration of the Trinity, the three in one. If you think of Scotland, the national symbol is the thistle. Might seem a little strange. Certainly not the farmer's friend or the gardener's friend. You ask, why did they choose the thistle? Well, the reason is when the Norwegians were invading Scotland back in the 13th century, they came by night and they came barefooted. The idea was that
they would come a little quieter in their invasion. But one man, one of the Norwegians, stood on a thistle and cried out from the pain, and that alerted the Scottish sentries, those that were keeping watch. And remember that a thistle is often included in many of the football teams, the names of the football teams across the land of Scotland. Wales, where we lived for 9 years, a little over it, the daffodil and the lick are the national plants, or the national flowers, and they wear them so proudly, especially on the 1st of March, St. David's Day. They wore the lick on the helmet in the ancient battles, especially in the days of the patron saint of Wales, St. David himself. Holland is an easy one. The national flower of Holland is the tulip that is shipped across, particularly in the springtime, to all of the other nations, and we benefit from that as well. So it's clear, brethren and sisters, every nation has a national plant or a national flower. The one especially I want you to think about is Canada. What is the national symbol of Canada? Well, it's the maple leaf. It's found on the national flag. The flag itself, because of that, is called the maple leaf. And the maple tree played a vital role in Canada's history, not just because of its wood, but also because of its maple syrup. It comes from the maple sap. The maple syrup is formed out of the maple sap. You maybe didn't know that. Maybe that might put you off your pancakes and the maple syrup that is generally applied to them. But the maple leaf is the symbol of the nation of Canada. But what I want you to see and understand is this, that just as the maple leaf reminds us of Canada, so all leaves should remind us of ourselves. The Bible teaches that people, mankind in general, are like leaves. That's the teaching of our text. We all do fade as a leaf. Isaiah is showing us that we, each one, are like leaves. There are similarities between people and the multitude of leaves that are around us. Here, men and women, is what we could describe as a universal symbol of mankind. The season of autumn is now upon us, and autumn brings the leaves. Autumn leaves, as we sometimes describe them, are all around us. You can't miss them. And the fact is that you and I, each one, are just like those leaves. So for a few minutes, let me tell you how you are like the autumn leaves that you see so much of in these days. The first thing is, remember that leaves are fleeting. Leaves don't last very long. Most leaves have a very short life. At best, they just get a few months. The life of a leaf is quickly over. They're no sooner on the trees before they start to disappear again. Leaves are fleeting. And the same, men and women, is true of you. Your life is short. Your life is brief. The life that you have will soon be over. It's good to recognize and realize that. James said, "What is your life? It's even a vapor." The picture, the simile is a little different, but the truth is the same. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Notice it doesn't say it appeareth for a long time. Sometimes when we think that somebody that lives to 80, 90 years of age or whatever, that's a long time, and to us it is. But the Bible says we just appear on this earth for a little time. And that's something you need to take in. Life doesn't last long. So don't fool yourself about that as you sit in the gospel service tonight. You have just a little time here upon this earth. Remember that Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." Notice the contrast there, the fewness of our days and the fullness of the trouble. The few days that we have, they're full of difficulties. They're full of trials. But especially let me emphasize that Job didn't say many years. Man that is born of a woman is of many years. That's not the message of the text. Man that is born of a woman is of few days. The message is this, that life is so brief that it should be measured not in years, but it should be measured just by days. Job said as well, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. If you think of a person that flees, fleeing away, the idea there is that they're running, and they're running very fast. They're running as fast as is possible. And the reality is that life's just like that. Your days on this earth are quickly running, and they're quickly running out. They're quickly running away from you. Men and women, I impress upon your hearts that life is fleeting. Michael Jackson, who was a famous pop star, was once in a Los Angeles store looking round some of the furnishings. He was on a bit of a spending spree. One of the items of furniture that he came to was a coffin shaped in the image of Tutankhamun, the Egyptian pharaoh. The comment of Michael Jackson, he was being filmed as he went through the store that day. He said, I'll not need one of those. I'm going to live forever. That was a very foolish statement indeed. Far from living forever, he didn't even live to be old. Just 50 years of age. Life is short, men and women. Life is fleeting. The psalmist said, remember how short my time is. And I encourage you to do that tonight. Here's something we all need to remember. It's something that we so easily lose sight of. How short my time upon this earth actually is. Luke said, Luke recorded the story of the farmer, chapter 12. That farmer, we reckon to be a young man, looking out on life. He thought he had a long time still left to live. Because he said, much goods laid up for many years. There's a young man, and he thinks he's looking out on life. He's still a long time left here upon this earth. He thought he'd still a very long time to live. And maybe you think the same. Remember tonight how wrong you are. Remember how wrong he was. Because far from having many years, he didn't even have another day left upon this earth. Life is fleeting, men and women. Life passes, life ends so very, very quickly. And I want to stress that to you tonight. I want to stress to you, men and women, you don't have much time. You don't have much time to live. You don't have much time left of life upon this earth. Never forget that. And you need to use your time wisely and carefully. The Bible exhorts us to redeem the time. What that means tonight is you don't have much time to be saved, to come to Christ. You don't have much time left to prepare yourself for eternity. This is something, men and women, that you should not delay, that you should not put off. It's something that you need to settle now. Think of Paul's exhortation writing to the Corinthians. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Most people say tomorrow, some other time, some more convenient time. But the message of God's word is, you need to be saved. You need to experience salvation now, while you still have opportunity. So I plead with you tonight, come immediately to Christ in salvation for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Leaves are fleeting. Something else that we learn, another similarity between leaves and ourselves, leaves are fading. That is the very heart of the message of the text. We all do fade as a leaf. Look around the garden, the countryside, and you see at this time of the year the leaves are fading. They're now past their best. They're withering. They're changing colour. And men and women, the same is true of you and me. You're fading too. Getting older. It's something that sometimes we live in denial of. We don't like to face up to. But we're getting older. We're getting weaker. Your sight's not as clear. Your hearing's not as good. Your mind isn't as sharp. We're all fading like a leaf. Do you remember what old Barzillai said? The friend and supporter of King David. He was 80 years of age, 80 years. He declared, "Can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my Lord the King?" He mentions there his taste. Can thy servant taste what I eat or drink? He mentions his hearing. Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Really what Barzillai's saying in that verse is, I'm weak in body. I'm now well past my best. He had come to that time in life when he was a burden to himself and a burden to others. He actually states that. Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my Lord the King? He recognized just where he was. He had become a burden to those around him and a burden to himself. He had come to that stage of life when every day was just labour and sorrow. His faculties losing their powers. His mind wasn't as sharp. His taste wasn't as good. His hearing wasn't as clear. He's saying to King David, my body's wearing out, it's slowing down. And the reality, men and women, is the same for us all. Those wrinkles on your face that increase with the years, the loss of hair, the change of colour of your hair, the aches and pains, the sickness and infirmity, your body's slowing down, you don't have the same energy, you don't have the same strength, you don't have the same stamina. You know, all of those things are speaking to us. The Lord speaks to us through them. All of those things remind us, everyone, we're getting older, we're getting weaker, and we're fading. We're fading just like the leaf. Just take down the photograph album. Look at a picture or a few pictures of yourself, even just a few years ago, and you'll be surprised at the changes. Not as young, not as fresh as once you were. A reminder that you're fading as a leaf. Of course, cosmetics can be used. They have their place. Can cover the wrinkles. Can colour the hair if you have any to colour. But as time goes by and as the years go on, more time, more money, more effort has to be given to those things. If I could put it to you like this, the more cosmetics you have to use, it just proves the truth of the text. We're all fading. We're all fading as a leaf. We can't escape it, men and women, however hard we try. We can't escape that we're going down the valley, one by one. We haven't long to stay upon this earth. And the warning is, you're not going to be here forever. And press that in your hearts. I urge you to remember it. As King David said, there is none abiding. There's no one that's going to be here forever. Your body will not last forever. Your body will wear out. You've only got one thing that will last forever, and that's your soul. So I ask you tonight, is your soul saved? I want to urge you to look to your soul today. I want to plead with you to make sure that it's well with your soul before you go from this gospel service tonight. It is true that leaves often look their best whenever they're fading. You think of the colours then are so beautiful, they're at times what would have to be described as outstanding. Think of the United States and Canada, the vast numbers of tourists that go there in what is known as the fall just to see the autumn leaves, because they are so beautiful to behold. And you know, the same can be true of old age. It can be the most attractive stage of life. especially for the child of God. Solomon said in the Proverbs, the hoary head, remember it's describing the white hair. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. The older person can have a crown of beauty. Can I ask the older members of the congregation tonight, do you have this beauty? Do you have this crown of glory? Are you found tonight in the way of righteousness? Are you saved by God's grace? Are you living your life faithfully, consistently for the Lord, seeking every day to live to His glory? So the leaves are fleeting, the leaves are fading. The other truth I'll emphasise to you tonight, the similarity, is that the leaves are falling. In an earlier chapter, Isaiah, back in chapter 34 and the verse 4, he said, as the leaf falleth off from the vine. Think of the leaves falling. Today, that's what's happening. That's what the autumn is all about. Leaves are falling from the trees. Their life is over. And in their thousands, perhaps even in their millions, they are quietly fluttering down from the tree down to the ground. They're on the road. They're in the garden. They're in the yard. They're in the drains. We have to say the leaves are everywhere. Why is that? Well, it's because they've fallen. The leaves are dead. And I remind you, brethren and sisters, the same will happen to you. There's a day coming when your life will end. Maybe quicker, more suddenly, more unexpected than you care to imagine. But there's a day coming when your life will end. There's a day coming when you will fall. You will fall down in death. And I must remind you of that tonight. I must remind you that you're going to die. Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes said, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. We think that a strange statement. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. We would think it better to go to the house of feasting. That would be our first preference, naturally our first choice. But remember Solomon and the wisdom that he has given is teaching us better to go to the house of mourning. The reason for that is you learn lessons there that you don't learn anywhere else. You learn about the brevity of life, the sureness of death, the certainty of eternity. But here's something especially that Solomon teaches in this text, something you need to heart, something you need to take to heart, that you need to sit up and take note of. We're all going to die. This is the end of all men. Doesn't matter who you are. This is the end, men and women, to which every one of us one day will come. Remember Genesis chapter 5? It gives the list of men who lived the longest, including Methuselah, the oldest man ever to live, 969 years. But after their age is stated, the word of God declares, and he died. 8 times over, that statement is recorded in the chapter. And that chapter, Genesis 5, it's a solemn reminder from the very beginning of time of the fact that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how long you live, you are going to die. The same men and women one day will be said of you. Maybe your age will be stated, the length of your days upon this earth. And he or she died. Can I ask you, you ever thought about that? Ever thought about death? Even more personally, can I ask you, ever thought about your death? Ever thought about your eternity? You say that's the last thing I would want to do, is to think about death. But men and women, how foolish that is. Moses said, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And if you're wise tonight, you will consider your latter end, especially where you'll end in eternity. You'll think about your death, and I want to urge you to do that in the gospel step or the gospel service tonight. And let me go a step further and urge you, don't just think about death. We want to urge you, men and women, to get ready. Get ready for death. Some of you will be familiar with John Grisham, the crime writer. Books are so popular. I understand from some articles that I've read that he goes to a Baptist church in the United States of America. A friend of his, a number of years ago, was diagnosed with cancer. John Grisham asked him, "What will you do?" His friend quickly replied, "Well, there's only one thing I can do, and that is get right with God." So it doesn't matter, men and women, what your circumstances are today, whether you're young or old, whether you're sick or healthy, that's the very thing that you need to do as well. You need to get right with God in the gospel service this Sabbath night. Isaiah, the prophet, when he came into the royal palace to speak to King Hezekiah with a message from God, said, "Set thine house in order. Sort out your life, especially the spiritual affairs in your life." And that's what you need to do, men and women. You need to set your house in order. You need to get saved. You need to get ready to die. You need to be prepared for God's so great eternity. So life's lessons from the leaves, or some of the lessons of life that we learn from the leaves that are so common, the leaves that are so evident all around us at this time. The leaves are fleeting. You don't have long upon this earth. The leaves are fading. We're all getting weaker. Those facts remind us that we haven't long to stay. The leaves are falling. Think of this last week, of all the news that we've heard of those that have died, even in this community, those that have been known to so many of us. I'll say this, I'll give you this thought just as we close. Remember that a leaf is something that's very weak and frail. It doesn't take a lot to bring a leaf down. Even in the summertime, you may have noticed over the summer so many leaves that came down prematurely during this year, this summer. It was explained the reason for that was because of the dry spell that we had for a time, and because there's not enough water in the trees, that they accommodate for that and they shed the leaves that they can't provide for. So it doesn't take much to bring a leaf down, especially when the leaf is fading. It just needs a gentle touch. You maybe noticed that when you've been out in the garden doing some work, doing some tidying up. A leaf that's fading and you brush against it and down it goes. So quickly it falls. It doesn't take much to bring a leaf down. Just the gentle touch, just a breeze that blows. And men and women, it's the same for you. Now, let me warn you tonight. It won't take much to bring you down in death either. Think of one Bible example of that, old Eli. He just fell backwards from the shock of some news that he received, some terrible news about his family and the ark of God. And he fell backwards from a wall and he broke his neck and he was gone from this scene of time. A simple fall and his life ended, his life was over. So I stress it for you, men and women, it won't take very much to bring you down. It won't take a lot to bring your life to an end. Maybe just a stroke, a heart attack, an infection, an accident, a sickness. All it will take is this, for the wind of adversity to blow in your life. Did you see the wind is mentioned in our text? It says at the end of the verse, "And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." And that's all it will take. For the wind of adversity to come and blow in your life, and then you'll be gone forever from this scene of time. The lesson, men and women, you dare not boast about tomorrow. You know not what will be on the morrow. We've been reminded of that so clearly, so forcefully in recent days. Because very easily and very simply, you could be dead and gone before tomorrow comes. We all do fade as a leaf. What a warning, what a message there is to our hearts from that simple statement tonight. May God bless His word to every heart. We're going to sing just a verse and a chorus. It's a hymn that is very relevant. It is often sung at this season of the year. We have sung it a few times in recent weeks. It's especially relevant for the close of the service tonight. We'll just sing the first verse and the chorus, 2:30. Life at best is very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf. It's like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Just the first verse and chorus, and we'll stand to sing, please. Pray that you'll write that message upon hearts in the meeting, those that have listened to the broadcast as well. The great urgency that there is in coming to Christ and salvation. Thank you, Father, for your hand upon the meeting tonight, especially the preaching, the presence and power of God that has been sensed in the meeting. We praise thee for that, Father. We take it as a great mercy from thee. We ask on these Sabbath evenings that the knowledge, the experience, the sense of the Lord amongst us might strengthen and increase. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll make these gospel meetings fruitful, especially to the saving of lost and precious souls. We're glad in prayer that we're able to just give ourselves into your keeping for this week. We're conscious, Father, of so many dangers, even as it's been emphasized. We don't know what will be on the morrow. We pray you'll be with us. And Lord, we pray that we'll know your preserving hand upon ourselves and our families. Preserve us, we plead, from all evil in this week that lies before us. And we ask thee to spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease and until at our Father's loved abode our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.